You. It's good to see you. Today I want to talk to you about an uncomplicated life. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, those of you using church Bibles, is on page 521. If you're using a church Bible, it's on page 521. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 42. Looks like about everybody's there. Beginning with verse 3, a white-tailed deer drinks from the creek. I want to drink God, deep draughts of God. I'm thirsty for God alive. I wonder, will I ever make it arrive and drink in God's presence? I'm reading out of the message. I'm on a diet of tears, tears for breakfast, tears for supper. All day long, people knock at my door, pestering, where is this God of yours? Verse 4. These are the things I go over and over, emptying out the pockets of my life. I'm always at the head of the worshiping crowd, right out in front, leading them all, eager to arrive at worship or at church, shouting praises, singing thanksgiving, celebrating all of us God's feast. Verse 5, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix your eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising Him again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you, from Jordan's depths to Hebron's heights, including Mount Mizar, chaos calls to chaos, to the tune of a white water rapids. Your breaking surf, your thundering breakers crash and crush me. Then God promises to love me all day, sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer. Verse 9. Sometimes I ask God, my solid rock, why do you let me down? Why am I walking around in tears, harassed by enemies? They're out for the kill, these tormentors with their obscenities, taunting day after day. Where is this God of yours? Verse 11. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix your eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising Him again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God. And after having read that, I would like to say, man, I'm glad that's over. I mean, aren't you glad that's over? I mean, we're up, we're out, we're in, we're happy, we're glad, we're praisers, we're not praisers. God, where are you? God, you're so close. God, you're... Life can get complicated. And sometimes we just don't have any idea if we're in or if we're out. We don't have any idea if we are up or if we are down. Sometimes we just scratch our heads and we wonder ourselves, what in the world is going on? Because life is complicated. But the question before us this morning is this: do we have to be complicated people just because life is complicated? Can we find something in the Easter message, in Jesus' life and His death and His resurrection, and in the hope of His coming, that can help us to uncomplicate our lives? Now, before I talk about living an uncomplicated life, I want to look at some signs of complicated people, because, you know, I think that there are times when we deceive ourselves and we say, well, I'm not really a complicated person, it's just I have a complicated life. Well, guess who's in control of your life? And so there are these earmarks or signs of people who are complicated. And so I'm going to give you a few of those, and then we'll look at how to live an uncomplicated life. Number one, complicated people see things that are not there. They see things that are not there. They'll look at a group doing something, and they'll say things like, I know what they're doing, and they got no idea what's going on. They'll look at two people across the room talking to each other, and go, I know what they're talking about, and they don't have any idea what's being talked about, because they think it's about them. Okay? Complicated people, they see things that are not there. There's always something bad about to happen, and of course nothing good is ever about to happen. They're always making these predictions, and they're always seeing things that don't exist. The second thing complicated people do is that they hear things others are not hearing. I know he's talking about me now. It's amazing to me how many times after a service, people will come to me and they'll say, you know, it really blessed me today when you said, and then they will repeat something I never said. Because we all hear things differently through the filters of our ears. Complicated people, number three, feel misunderstood all the time. I don't know what just happened right there. Did I? Previous. Okay, thank you. That's what I should have done. Last viewed. Well, let's go to previous from there. Complicated people feel misunderstood all the time because life is complicated and they don't know what's going on. They feel like that you don't understand what's going on. They can't quite articulate to you what it is that they're feeling and thinking and what's going on in their head. Number four, complicated people are late. Because there's always these distractions that are keeping them late. Now, I'm not talking about, please hear me, I'm not talking about people who are occasionally late every time. You know, there are situations, some of you stop grinning at me, there are situations where, you know, things come up in our lives, but people who are consistently late are late because things are complicated. They've got so many things they got to do. You know, and I learned this last night, isn't this an interesting term? I'm always running late. Would you ever stop to think if you were on time, you might stop running? How about give that a try? And I'll tell you something else I've noticed about people who are late. They like to talk about their lateness. Okay? I got up this morning, went to an Easter sunrise service. By the time I got there, they had already started the singing, and all those praise and worship singers were up on the stage, except for one, the one who was with a complicated life. And so they come right up on stage, and instead of singing, what do? They bend over to the other person singing and tell them why they're late. I'm late again. I got held up in traffic. I hit the snooze one. You know, and they're up there telling the other person why they're late while everybody else is worshiping. Because late people want to explain their lateness because in going, well, yeah, that happens, they think that excuses them being late. But it's nothing more than just a sign of a life that is out of control. That you can't be where you said you're going to be when you say you're going to be there. Now, if you want to live a life, gosh, it got quiet in here, didn't it? If you want to live a life where your life controls you, more power to you. But I want to live a life where I'm controlling my life. You can't control everything in life. If you do that, it sends you to the mental ward at Presbyterian. But there's a lot more structure, there's a lot more that we could do to be in control of our lives and not be quite as complicated. Number five, people who live complicated life are forgetful. They're forgetful. It's got nothing to do with old age. They're forgetful. Because their life is so complicated, they can't keep up with all of it. It's like every issue in their life is a helium-filled balloon. And there's not but just so many balloons that they can keep all down, and all of a sudden one's getting away from them. And they are forget. Oh, I forgot to do that. Oh, I forgot to stop by. Oh, I forgot to call. Oh, I forgot. Oh, I forgot. Oh, I forgot. Well, let me tell you something. What's in your heart you won't forget about. Because if it's close to your heart, you will remember it. Well, preacher, I didn't know you're going to be ugly on Easter. Why not? I'm real ugly the other 52 weeks out of the year. Number six, complicated people say things like, you know, I've been talking to a few people. And they. And I'm going to tell you something. I have always found in my life of ministry that they are always standing in front of you. Yeah, they is interpreted more than one, but really by the person speaking, they is one. Okay, they are always standing right in front of you. But complicated people like to complicate other people's lives by talking about how complicated things are. And somehow or another, they think that in getting someone else to, let me see if I can spit this word out, commiserate with their misery. Thank you very much. And the ability to get somebody else to commiserate with their misery, they think that they solve something. And really, we don't solve anything. In fact, in discussing it, I think what we do is we expand the problem. But they will say things like, I talked to a few people and they said, I talked to a few people they think, I talked to a few people they want. And all they're doing is spreading around the complication. Number seven, people with complicated lives have unresolved issues. People with complicated lives have unresolved issues. They're always saying this. I remember when you said. They're always saying things like, I remember when you did that. They don't forget anything. Constantly holding it over your head, complicating your life because their lives are complicated. Everybody follow me? All righty. So, what are the keys to an uncomplicated life? I mean, we want to know that. Well, before we can talk about that, I want to cover 2 points with you. Number one, remember that insanity is doing the same thing but expecting different results. Because see, here's what's going to happen. In a minute, I'm going to give you some keys on how to live an uncomplicated life, and you're going to sit there and go, I don't think that'll work. Well, let me just ask you this. What you're doing now, how's that working for you? If you're going to keep doing the same thing, then don't expect different results, or go ahead and keep doing the same thing, expect the same results, and understand that you are insane. I mean, isn't that how that all kind of works itself out in the end there? Phrased another way, let's put it this way. Don't be surprised if you keep coming back to the same pain, if you keep making the same choices. Don't be surprised if you keep coming back to the same pain, if you keep making the same choices. If you put yourself in the wrong place all the time, you're going to wind up with the wrong things. So these keys that I'm giving you this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to look at these keys and decide, which one of these am I not doing? Because I believe if we were doing these things, our lives would be... Now, our lives are never not going to be complicated because of the world in which we live. But it can be less complicated. How many would settle for less complicated? Okay, so what are the keys to an uncomplicated life? Number one, you got to love God. And I'm not talking about, I love God. I'm talking about a passion for God. Okay? That's what I'm not talking about, some sentimental, syrupy, slobbering, sort of a, I love God. No, I'm talking about having a passion after God. I'm talking about a heart that desires God. Because here's why this is number one. This is number one because until you get your relationship with God right, your world's going to stay complicated. You know, we got to start right in the middle. You know, let's start right in the heart of the issue. All right? Because we are a body that has a soul that gives us our mind, will, and emotions, but what we are is spirit. And until our spirits get right with God, our world's going to stay turned upside down. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And you know why that's right? Because I've never heard a testimony where someone raised their hand and said, I'd like to praise the Lord this morning for the day He saved me. When I came to Jesus, my life was just going so perfect and things were so well, and there was nothing else that I needed in my life except Jesus. So I just decided, well, I think today I'll just put the capstone on the top of my life and accept Jesus. I never heard a testimony like that. What I heard was when I came to Jesus, I was at the very bottom. Because until you love God with a passion, your life is turned upside down. Are we having fun yet? I am. No. We're almost having fun? Okay. Number two, the second key to an uncomplicated life is love Lamplight Church. What? What's wrong with that? Here's what I mean by that. You got to love something outside of yourself. Love something outside of yourself. Give yourself to something. Oh, it's just real easy to sit at home with our feet propped up and watch the TV preachers and declare I love God. It really shows me something when you're watching the TV preachers and you say you love God and you're actually committed to something. And that's all I'm talking about here. I just thought this would be funny, a funny way to say it. But that's what I'm talking about here. We've got to be committed to something that is outside of ourselves, number one, and bigger than ourselves. That's all I'm talking about. Love God with a passion and be committed to the things that God is committed to with a passion. Number three, see life. Number three is see life as an honor. Life is not to be taken for granted. Life is a gift. But see, complicated people, they see their lives as if they are walking in mud up to here. And it's all they could do to get, you know, one foot in front of the other. And they don't see life as a gift. They don't see life as an honor. They don't see life as a privilege. They see it as a drudge. It's not good morning, Lord. It's, oh Lord, it's morning. At the end of the day, they don't go to bed. They pass out. You know, it's a boom. You know? And if we're going to have an uncomplicated life, we've got to realize that life is a privilege for us. Number four, have the attitude that nothing is too hard. I tell Michelle all the time, I can't be defeated. You know why? Because I'm too stupid to quit. I just won't quit. I have determined that nothing's too hard. Whatever God asks of me, whatever life asks of me, whatever my responsibilities are, whatever it is I've got to do, I just got to. Just do it. Get your little Nike swoosh and just do it. Life is really not too hard. We're just too lazy. I said, life is not really too hard. We're just too lazy. Well, that was a little bit better, but some of you are going, I'm not lazy. Well, okay. Actually, what you're doing is I'm lazy and I ain't going to admit it. Okay, well, that's fine. I can dig that. All right. Don't quit. I love the Larry Sykes songs that says, don't quit on the brink of a miracle. You know, we talk about the brink of disaster. And that's what complicated people see life as. They're always on the brink of disaster. But what we don't understand is that if you love God and if you're committed to something bigger than yourself, and if you'll see life as an honor, you're not on the brink of disaster, you're on the brink of a miracle. Don't quit on God too soon. And when soon enough? Never. So don't quit on God. Number five. Don't have divided loyalties. Either get in or get out. And let's just take this broom and let's just sweep it across the whole spectrum of our lives. Okay? Take your work. If you're not happy, go do something else. Quit making everybody else around you miserable. Take your relationship with God. Don't have divided loyalties. Well, I want God, but I want to goof around or whatever, you know. Don't have divided loyalties. Let's go back to number two. This is not where you want to go to church. Quit coming. Go somewhere else. We're not going to fold up. Now, we've had some people leave who thought, boy, as soon as I leave, this place is folding up. Surprise is on you. Because it wasn't built on their shoulders. It was built on somebody else's shoulders. Wasn't built on their death. It's built on somebody else's death. Amen? Okay. But anyway, I'm going to try to play pretty. Okay, number six. Okay. But don't have... Well, remembering that they get worse as we go, we may not want to go to number six. Okay. But don't have divided loyalties. Here's what James said. A double-minded man is unstable, not in some of his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And that's what makes our lives complicated, is that we have divided loyalties. We want to walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you what, they're going opposite directions. They can't nothing happen to you, but you split. Thank you. Number six. And actually, this is a good introduction to number six. Keep your sense of humor. If you're going to live an uncomplicated life, you got to keep your sense of humor about you. A woman went to the doctor's office where she'd been seen by one of the younger doctors. After about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out screaming as she ran down the hall. An older doctor stopped her and asked what the problem was, and she told him her story. After listening, he had her sit down and relax in another room. The older doctor marched down the hallway to the back where the young doctor was writing on his board. "What's the matter with you?" the older doctor demanded. "Miss Reed is 62 years old, has 4 grown children, 7 great-grandchildren, and you just told her she's pregnant?" The young doctor continued writing without looking up. He said, "Does she still have the hiccups?" We got to keep our sense of humor about us. You know what I mean? If you were 62 and told you were pregnant, I bet it'd cure your hiccups. It cut them right out, wouldn't it? But sometimes we just... It's like the expression around our house is, we have two choices. We can laugh, or we can cry. I'm going to choose to laugh. So just keep your humor about you to uncomplicate your life. Number 7, be an overperformer, an overachiever. "Well, that sounds like if I do that, it's going to complicate my life." No, you see, there's no personal satisfaction in not achieving anything. When you give something your... And please hear me. Here's what I want to say. When you give something your very best. Now, the Bible says we are fools when we compare ourselves among ourselves. Okay? So it's not, can I do it as good as Michelle? Can I do it as good as Bubba? Can I do it as good as Samira? I'm not... You're not my comparison. You're not the standard by which I judge what it is I do. Okay? So having said all that, let me say, when you give your very best, there's a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of satisfaction. There's a sense of fulfillment. Just stop and think about the people at your work who are complicated people. They're the ones trying to figure out how to not get something done rather than trying to figure out how to get something done. And we uncomplicate our lives by applying ourselves. Isn't that an interesting and novel approach to life? We apply ourselves to the things that come our way, and we are not only achievers, but to be an overachiever. It bears repeating at this point, but if you're going to call Lamplight home, then I demand of you that you be the best employee your employer has. Or don't tell them you come to church here. Because if you're going to be the problem employee, I don't want them to know you come here. Because it's not only a bad reflection on here, it's a bad reflection on him. Be an overachiever. And when you are, you'll see how life has a tendency to iron itself out. Number 8. This is going to take a little bit of explaining. But don't defend the 90%. I'll give you a chance to write that down, then I'll explain it to you. Don't defend the 90%. Here's what I mean by that. Charlie, you know, in your life, you really need to work on this part right here. And Charlie says back to me, "But I've been doing really well over here on this." And he starts defending what he has done and ignores what needs to be done. In other words, don't defend the 90%, fix the 10%. But see, every time somebody approaches us and says to us, "Now you're doing really well in this area, but you could do a little better if you would adjust this or just..." "I guess they just don't like what it is I've been doing." And we get to crying over the 90% when all they're trying to do is help us reach 100%. We get real defensive about how much we've done. Consequently, then, while we're trying to defend the 90, the 10 is still being ignored. So if we're going to have, if our lives are going to be uncomplicated, you can't spend your life defending the 90. The 90's done. It's tied up. It's in a bow. It's in a ribbon. It's in the package. It's in the box. It's done. Leave it alone. Work on the rest. That's good preaching, preacher. Thank you. Number 9. Yeah, I know. And take responsibility for your life. I am where I am because of the choices that I made. Now see, I'd like for us all to be Popeye. That's it. What did Popeye say? I am what I am. Yeah, that's exactly, God said the same thing. Who am I going to say sent me? Say I am. Popeye's just mimicking God. I am what I am because he took responsibility. You like that, baby? Thank you. He took responsibility for his own self. Huh? And is that the end of it? I am what I am, and that's all that I am. Hey, that would be a real good philosophy. Let's add that to the Bible. Get a pen. We'll write that in. Personal responsibility. Stop blaming life, circumstances, my parents, how I got started. My mama dropped me on my head when I was 2 weeks old. I mean, whatever. Stop blaming everybody and everything else and take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility for where you are. Take responsibility for what you know. Take responsibility for what you don't know. And what you don't know, learn. What another novel concept. But as long as we continue to blame someone, something, and never take responsibility for ourselves, our lives are going to stay complicated. Why is that? Because only you can fix you. Now, you got to take that like it's meant. Even you can't fix you without the Holy Spirit's help. Okay? All right, so that should be understood. But since we got so many visitors today, let me make that statement for you. Only you can fix you under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's not just going to come rushing in and start slapping you around and going, okay, here I am, we're going to straighten things up. He only comes in when he's invited. And he's only invited at the places where you're willing to take responsibility for who you are, what you are, and where you are. Now, that was my introduction. Here's my sermon. In Luke chapter 24, we find a very interesting story. This is why it is important. Those of you using church Bibles, it's on page 975 if you want to turn there. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell you the story because all of you know the story anyway. But anyway, this in Luke 24:13, this is why it is important for us to not have complicated lives. In Luke 24:13 is the story of two men who are leaving Jerusalem who are disciples of Jesus. They are disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they are walking along and they are discussing Jesus' death. Okay? He has not risen yet. They are discussing his death, and obviously these are two guys whose lives are very complicated. They have been talking to this stranger who all of a sudden appears and starts walking with them about, man, we thought that this Jesus was going to be the one, and we thought he was going to set us free from Roman rule, and we thought he was going to do this, and we thought he was going to do that. And all of a sudden, now then, everything, all of our lives that we had so planned out and put in place and thought we had found the one, and here's the answer. All of a sudden, now then, he's dead, and man, my life just became extremely complicated. You follow me? So Jesus appears and he's walking along and they're telling him about their complicated life because that's what complicated people do. That's all they talk about is how complicated their lives are. And one of them makes what in my estimation is the most foolish statement in all of the Bible. Jesus says, what are you guys talking about? And one of them looks at him and says, don't you have any idea what's been going on the last 3 days in Jerusalem? Now just stop and think about how stupid a comment that is when you consider who it is they're talking to. I mean, his answer could have been, hey, I'm the only one who knows what's been going on the last 3 days in Jerusalem. But they continue on with their complicated lives, walking with Jesus. And then as the day starts to come to an end, Jesus makes some gestures like he's going to continue to go on. And they go, no. He's, you know, after dark, it's cold, and it gets real frigid out here, and you might get robbed. You know, you need to come and stay with us. And so he comes and he stays, and he gets something to eat. And when he prays, his identifying mark was his ability. It was how he prayed. Okay, that little point there is free. When he prayed, they recognized him, and he disappeared from their midst. And what was it that they said? How foolish we have been when we were on the way. Did he not speak to us? And what did they say? And our hearts burned within us. Here's the point. Here's why it is so important for our lives to not be complicated. Because when our lives are complicated, Jesus can be right beside of you and talking to you, and you miss everything he says. That's why it's important to take a look at these 9 keys and say, what can I start today? Taking responsibility for to change my life. Because I recognize that if I don't make changes, but I keep hoping things are going to change, that I need to be committed. And personally, ladies and gentlemen, when I find my way back around to a familiar pain, it hurts as bad the second time, the third time, the fourth time, and the fifth time as it did the first time. Amen. And I prefer to not have that pain if I can help it. But the only way to not keep coming back to the same pain is to change the choices in my life. To take responsibility for who I am. One time, rewind the tape. I want to say it this way. At Jesus' baptism, he comes up out of the water, and there's a voice from heaven that says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And a couple of them turned to each other and said, man, did you hear thunder? They missed God's voice altogether. And people who come to me and say, you know, I hear you say that God speaks to you, but God doesn't speak to me. Well, maybe it's he's talking and you're not listening. Maybe you're on your Emmaus, but your life is such a mess, it doesn't make any difference what he says. He can't get through. Thank you. It's amazing how we want to blame God. It's a little bit off the subject, but let me just share something with you. I was listening to this guy this week, one of the 2 or 3 people that I actually do listen to. He said he was in a discussion about Jesus being the only way to get to heaven. And the other person said to him, well, if that's true, what about the people in Africa? Or what about the people in India? Or what about the Hindus? Or what about the Muslims? Or, you know, or whatever. And the guy said, you know, in asking me that question, you are making the supposition, or you are making the presupposition, or you're presuming, there's what I was looking for, you are presuming that you care more about the people who live in Africa than God does. He said, and I got something to tell you. You ever been to Africa? The guy goes, no, I ain't never been there. He said, well, the Holy Spirit's there, so God cares more about Africa than he does about than you do, obviously. So don't you worry about Africa. You worry about you. But isn't it amazing how the enemy likes to turn our eyes just a little bit and put us, and this is the point I'm trying to drive at, and put an accusation in our ears just like he did 6,000 years ago when he said, did God really say? See, his tricks hadn't changed. And the problem is he gets using the same tricks because we keep falling for the same lies. It is important for our lives to not be complicated. Life is complicated. But it is important for us not to be complicated people. Because when our lives, when we are complicated people and we live complicated lives, there are so many voices inside of our head, we can't even hear God when He speaks. And I'm going to tell you something, what He's got to say is much more important than all of the screaming that this world does. So this morning, each and every one of us, sitting right now under the sound of my voice, stands at a place where we have to make a decision. And every one of us will make a decision either purposely, intentionally, or by omission. Because we're held responsible for what it is we've now heard. Some people will walk out of here with no intentions of making any changes whatsoever. That's fine. It's your life. There are other people who will walk out of here with the same kinds of intentions that I have towards a diet. It's a great idea, but I don't plan to do nothing about it. And you know that's right. You know what I'm saying? There'll be people who, you know, well, that was really good. I enjoyed hearing that. Lord bless you. And two steps, and they don't remember a thing. It's called the pit in the parking lot. That's what it's called in preacher terms. It's the pit in the parking lot. Everything you said falls in that pit. And before they even get out of the parking lot, they can't even remember what you said. But then there, I trust by the person of the Holy Spirit, there are people who are going to say, you know what? That made really good sense to me. I'm going to take my notes. And after I look at the paper this afternoon, I'm going to look those notes back over again. And I'm going to get up in the morning, and before I start my day, I'm going to pick one of your least hard areas. You know, don't kill the biggest dragon first. Got to build up a little strength first, okay? But just get up in the morning, take a look over those notes real quickly. You don't have to look at the bad parts, just the 9 good ones. And decide today, not by accident, but by an act of my will, by intention, that was the word I was going to use, by intention. Now don't say, by intention, I'm going to conquer this today. Because you're coming home going, oh, it didn't work. By intention, I'm going to make progress. I'm going to be on 85, I'm going to be going south, and eventually I will get to Atlanta. Okay? I'm going to start moving in the right direction. I'm going to start doing what I know to be the truth. I'm going to start living a life of intention. See, that's number 2, Love Lamplight Church. Be committed to something bigger than yourself. Not just, I love God, but have a passion to intend to live a life of intention towards God. And please hear me, don't try to change everything tomorrow. Let me give you the good news of the gospel. God is patient with you. So be patient with yourself and just take it one step at a time. Because that beats the hound out of no step at all. Let's pray. You are such an awesome God to us. And we're not going to ask you for our lives to become uncomplicated, because we're just in a sinful environment where sin abounds and life is complicated. That's just, grass is green, the sky is blue, and life is complicated. But we are going to lay our lives before you because we don't want to be complicated people. And because of your power in us at Easter, as your body was resurrected, so can ours be. So we want our lives to give you honor. We want our lives to give you glory. We want to be uncomplicated people in a complicated world. We want to be the fish that are swimming against the stream. We want to be the ones who are jumping over the rocks. We want to be the ones who are going in an opposite direction, because that's the way your kingdom works. We give you honor and we give you glory today, because we know that what we've heard is possible because you live. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm just going to make a real quick invitation here. Not something I'm going to ask you to physically respond to. I'm just going to say to you this morning this. If the person of the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today about how complicated your life is, and you see those keys as the answer, I'm just going to ask you to take a moment just right where you're sitting and just tell the Lord, "Lord, today, right at this moment, I make a commitment to working and allowing you to work in my life to uncomplicate my life. I'm going to live a life of intention. I'm going to live a life of purpose. And I'm going to live a life where I am moving towards you in every aspect of my life. I will not quit. It is not too hard. I will not defend the 90. You and I, we will work on the 10. Because I want my life to give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen." If you would like for an elder to pray with you, they'll be at the front of the church after service today. Happy Easter to you. The Lord bless you. Thanks for coming and being with us.